Oh, it's so good to be here at Eden Valley today. Happy Sabbath to each one of you. I have just grown to love this place. My wife was one of the guests here back in early 2018. Does anybody remember Tamara Mallory? I know Chelsea would. Yeah, she just enjoyed her time here. She almost felt like she was almost in heaven. Because of how you treated her. And so we just have a really good memories of this place and the church, the institute, everything that happens here. All I can say is just praise the Lord, John, for what is happening here in this community. I will tell you that one of the side benefits of a spouse going to a program like this, Travis, is that the spouse comes home and she experiments on the other person in the family. And so I have been on the receiving end of so much that she's learned here from Eden Valley. But probably the one thing that really sticks out, and I'm not sure if you guys taught her this, but I think she learned this from you. Maybe it was Barbara O'Neill, the videos or whatever. But she said, you know what, Mickey, the first thing you need to do in the morning is to make sure you drink lemon water. Did she learn that here at Eden Valley? I'm just assuming she did. Somebody, Chelsea, I'm not sure who taught her that. But she said, you know, Mickey, you would benefit if you would just do the same. And so I just want you to know, since she came to the program here back early 2018, it's been about a year, I have been doing that almost every morning. Almost every morning. I have not gotten sick since. So I don't know, maybe it's something else, but I have a lot of faith in lemon water now. And so when we go to Costco or Sam's, we're just buying bags of lemons. And so it's been really neat to see how what you teach here has been a blessing to me. I'll never forget, as a new Seventh-day Adventist, I grew up in a home where my dad was not an Adventist, but mom was. So she took me to church every Sabbath. And I'll never forget growing up hearing things about the Lord and everything. But it wasn't until I was in my late teens that I actually came to the point where I thought, you know, maybe I should give Jesus a try. So at age 17, John, the pastor and I connected, and to make a long story short, he baptized me. And then shortly after that, I was on my way to school to study to become a pastor. And that's just the whole, I just don't have enough time to tell you everything. It's a miracle. You can't believe all the things that God has done to get me to this point today. But it was really interesting. As a new Seventh-day Adventist, somehow, you know, and I didn't have much of a background in healthy living at all, but somehow somebody gave me a copy of a book called Counsels on Diets and Food. And I don't know if you've ever read that before, but when I started reading that book, then that's when everything made sense to me that, you know what, my body is important and I need to take care of it. And so I became a believer in the health message right then, and it's just come back to bless me in so many ways. I'm thankful today that I am a Seventh-day Adventist Christian, and I'm especially thankful that part of what we believe is the health message. Praise God. Can you say amen to that? I cannot imagine where I would be today if I didn't find the health message. I probably would not even be alive because of the lifestyle that I was living, even as a new Seventh-day Adventist Christian. So isn't it interesting how God puts you in places? He puts you in places each step of the way where you need to be. And just by providence, he put me here today in your pulpit. I feel very privileged and honored to be able to be here today. Thank you, John, for the invitation. I will share with you before I begin the sermon today. You know, when I go and, I mean, Daryl kind of already mentioned a little bit about what I do. I'm the ministerial director for the Rocky Mountain Conference. So that kind of, you know, it's not a term or a title that some people understand, but let me just share with you this. It's this easiest way to know what I do. I'm the pastor of the pastors in the Rocky Mountain Conference. Does that make sense now? So ministerial director is one title, but pastor of the pastors. And so I get the privilege to go around to many churches throughout the Rocky Mountain Conference, and I get a chance to meet people just like you, get a chance to preach. Once in a while, I just sit and let the preacher preach. And so, it's just always a pleasure. It's a joy to be able to come and meet God's people in all the churches. And I just want you to know, as I interact with the people, God's people on Sabbath morning throughout the conference, I realize that one of the reasons that Rocky Mountain Conference is able to do what it does, it's because of the support of people like you. You make our conference what it is. Our local church is the most important part of our conference. And in fact, if you take away the local church, then you don't have a conference office. And so I know for a fact that we would not be able to do what we do without the support of you. And so today is my turn to just give you an applause and just to say thank you for all that you do to make our conference what it is. One thing that you do, and we've already done this earlier, and that is each Sabbath you're given a chance to return your tithe and your offering. And I just want you to know, some of you have been very faithful in this. And as far as I'm concerned, I can tell you this, that when you're faithful in returning God's 10% and giving an offering, that's the best way to live. I mean, you talk about lifestyle, your health. That's important, but wealth, putting God first. You know what it says in Matthew 6, seek God first in His kingdom. And what's the next part? And all these things will be added unto you. I know for a fact that Lord has blessed Tamara and I because we've put God first in our giving. And I just want to thank you for that. Another little thing that I do when I visit the church is because I want to remember the time that I have with you is something you've probably seen done before, but maybe not necessarily done from the pulpit before. But I like to take what I call selfies. And this allows me to do is it allows me to remember my time with you on this Sabbath. And so today, if you'll bear with me, I just want you just to smile. Can you do that? You can smile. On the way here today, I was listening to Steps to Christ, chapter 13, Rejoice in the Lord. And she actually said that Jesus did smile. You know that, right? And so right now, I want to give you a chance to smile. I'm in the picture with you. And so we'll start over here to my left. Just put your hand up in the air. One, two, three. And then we'll come over here. And this is a little harder for me. But one, two, three. Yeah, go. Yeah, there you go. Cool. You're pretty special. Not just anybody gets on my phone. So now I have a special memory of you, this experience, and I can always look back to that picture. I have a lot of pictures of the churches that I've attended. One more thing I need to say, and you know, probably I don't need to say this because I know the people involved, they just do this for the Lord, and you don't need any probably thing said as far as what you do, but I just want to spotlight some things that happened already today. Karen, when I came in today, you were so kind. You greeted me. You made me feel like I'm supposed to be here today. You gave me a bulletin. And sometimes we don't think about the first people that meet people. But you know what? You were important, Karen, and you did a wonderful job. Dale was in the lobby, and I want to thank Dale for what he's doing at the PA booth back there. I just happen to love those guys back there because he helps me when it comes to the delivery, and I appreciate that a lot. Also, Sabbath school class today. Where are you, Ron? Ron there, he was leading out for a very, I would consider a tough topic in the book of Revelation, but I just appreciated so much being a part of that today. What a blessing that was. And hey, yeah, Arturo, your story today, definitely about the building the bridge and using a lot of people for the illustration. That was really cool today, and I appreciate that. Paul and Mindy, both of you, at the cross. I mean, just great song today, the emphasis of that. And then Megan and Chelsea even helped there a little bit for the song leading, and Sean on the piano. The music is such an important part of what we do for worship, and sometimes we take that for granted. And I just want you to know that I really appreciate everybody that's had a part today in our service. And I can't resist, but I just want to say this again. Is it Sophia? Happy birthday. Is that right? 7 years old, right? And so happy birthday to Sophia. What a blessing. You know, as we begin today, and Tiffany, good to see you again. Tiffany and I know our folks real well from Michigan, and it's always a good, neat time when I can see Tiffany again. By the way, I just want to share with you one little sidelight about what Daryl Bates said, and that is that Daryl and I, we had the privilege to hang out quite a bit, but one of the things that I will never forget about Daryl is, some of you know, he's an electrician. And so he's got a talent there. And so my job was to be his assistant. Can you imagine hanging around an electrician? Wow, you're going to learn a lot of stuff. And I did. I really did learn that there's some wires you don't touch. And so after touching the wrong wires just a couple times, I realized that this is not my calling in life. And I decided that I was going to continue to focus on ministry, and because otherwise I don't think I'd be here today. I'd probably be dead. But Daryl was always just so patient about it. He never gave up on me. And just to be able to come to Eden Valley and see him today, and Laurel, what a treat that is. Well, the Lord has something planned in store today. I've already been told that, if you can go till 12:30 and that's it, that's fine. And I'm going to try my best today. I've got a lot to share with you. Bear with me. But are you ready to hear what the Lord has to say from his word today? How many of you would say, Jesus, I'm ready to hear what you have to say. Just raise your hand. Let's bow our heads. Father, our hands are up today because we believe you are going to speak. And we pray that the Spirit of God will prepare the way. Thank you so much for everything that's happened so far. The music's been great. The giving of this children's story. It's been great to be in your house on this Sabbath day. Continue to lead us in Christ's name. And everybody said, amen. I want to invite you to turn in your Bible to Exodus 17. Exodus 17. And if you did not bring your Bible today, just use your device. If you have a smartphone, you can turn there and read it that way. I will not think you're texting when I see you using your smartphone if you're using it for the Word today. But we want everybody to be in the Word. Now, when you think of the book of Exodus, usually you think of an exit, right? Yeah. Something's going on, and some of you know the history here really well, so I'm just going to take for granted that a lot of you have had some exposure to the book of Exodus. Well, simply put, the book of Exodus, when you think of Exodus, you do think of an exit. God's people were in bondage in Egypt, and God was taking them out of Egypt to the promised land. We all know that story, right? It's called the exit. And so when you come to verse 1, you find that when Moses was inspired to lead and to put all this together, they're described as the congregation, at least the New King James Version, the congregation of the children of Israel. Now, as I was looking at that, I was thinking, you know, that's a term that we use here and there, especially in the church world. We usually, when we think about the word congregation, we usually connect it to a church. And so for the sake of what I'm going to share with you today, I just want you to know that when we look at Exodus 17, we're going to be actually looking at a church. And when we say a church, what is a church? Is it the building? No. What is the church? It's the body, the New Testament says. It's the body of God's people, the believers. And so this is a group of people, a church, continuing on. They're on a journey. Interesting. They're not stagnant. They're actually moving. So let me go a little bit further here. I think we see here a church on the move, or a movement. And they're leaving this place called the wilderness of sin, and they're doing this according to the commandment of who? The commandment of the Lord. Interesting. A church on the move of movement, and it's a church that's following the commandments. So as I looked at this, I couldn't help but think that maybe this chapter, maybe there's something in this chapter that would be relevant for another church. Another church that came up in the 1800s that was called of movement and that calls themselves keepers of the commandments. Yeah. They have the testimony of Jesus. Yeah, and they keep the commandments. Oh, I think we can see a lot of parallels today. So much to the point that there's been people that have written stuff about Exodus, and they've actually come to the conclusion that this whole story is God's way of teaching the church, not just back then, but teaching the church of the last days valuable lessons. You probably remember a writer by the name of Taylor Bunch many years ago, but he wrote a book called The Exodus Type and Antitype, and he talks about the parallels between them and us. There's so much there, and for the sake of time today, I won't go into all of that with you. But let me share with you that this church was on a camp out in Rephidim. And friends, when you know, when you look at this story, you sometimes don't realize how big a camp out it was. Now, if the Eden Valley Church was to go on a camp out in the mountains here and somewhere in Colorado, we would guess probably at most we'd probably have 30 to 50 people that would make it. Just wondered, how many people do you think were involved in this camp out? Let me just share something with you. They say, one author says, that there was at least 500,000 men on this camp out. 500,000 men. And if you add the spouses and then the children, you're talking well over a million people that are on this camp out. Now, is that a lot of people or what? Try to put your mind around, just to try to wrap your mind around that number. Some of you know where the Denver Broncos play. In order to get up to what kind of number we're looking here, you would have to fill the stadium where the Broncos play over 10 times easy. Now, you're talking a lot of people. That is a lot of people. And they're out of in a place that's not really the place that you'd want to camp. It's kind of out in the middle of nowhere. I mean, the conditions aren't the best. It's kind of desert-like. And so, wow, they just left Egypt and all the pain and suffering that they experienced there. And now they find themselves camping in Rephidim. Now, you will note, as before we go to verse 2, there's a but there. In verse 1, it says they camped in Rephidim, but there was no what? There was no water for the people to drink. Just no water for all those people. Now, can you imagine what that would have been like? I mean, put yourself in the story here today. How many of you have ever been thirsty before? Just raise your hand. Yeah, you know, on a hot day, you haven't had anything to drink. Wow, water is important. Can you say amen to that? In fact, they tell us we should be drinking 8 to 10 glasses of water a day. Yeah, have you been drinking your water? Most of us, we have our water. We can do that. It's good for the body. But what do you do when you don't have it? When your mouth is dry and your body is just crying out for H2O? Well, this is what this group of people did in verse 2. It says they contended with Moses. Now, Moses is introduced here in this chapter for the first time. He's not new to the story of Exodus, but I just want you to know that I think Moses has a very important part with this exit plan. And as you think about the congregation, Israel being a church, who would Moses be? Think about that. Who would you call Moses? If you could give him a title, what title would you give Moses? Okay. You could call him a president. Some people could, may even think because he spoke for God, he could be like a prophet. But for the sake of this sermon today, this is what I want you to see Moses as being. Moses is a spiritual leader. A spiritual leader for the church. Now, if you want to go one step further, because you know the nature of my job, you could easily say that Moses was a pastor. That was what he was doing, wasn't he? Shepherding the flock, leading the flock, the church. And so, yeah, when it comes to verse 2, you find Moses, but notice how the congregation is relating to their pastor, to their spiritual leader. They're not very happy, not happy campers. And so that's why they see in verse 2, give us water that we may drink. And so the spiritual leader Moses, going to verse 2 again, he says to them, why do you contend with me? Why do you tempt the Lord? Now, as you look at that, you think, man, there must have been some background for him to say all this. Well, I think Moses understood something, and I think most of the people on that camp out understood something. And that is, somebody bigger than him is leading the camp out. Somebody much greater than him is leading the Exodus from Egypt to the Promised Land. And talk to me, church, who is that? Who is it? You know, don't you? It says the Lord here. But when you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, it makes you think that there was somebody leading them that's a friend of ours. And what would his name be? Jesus. The Lord of the Exodus, I believe, was Jesus. And so when Moses responds the way he does, it's almost his way of saying to his church family on the camp out, guys, don't you realize? God is in charge. Jesus, our Savior, the one that saved us from bondage, he's going to take care of us. And then going to verse 3, but it says the people thirsted. They just thirsted there for water. And the people complained. Ooh, ouch. They complained against Moses. Why is it that you brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst? Now think about it. You know, when you knew that they had need as far as water, this to me is a crisis in the church. It's a crisis moment. And you know what? Unfortunately, during this crisis, it becomes readily apparent that the people in the church, at least some of them, weren't handling the crisis well. And so this complaining started, and then during the complaining mode, the fingers started pointing, and you know what? Yeah, the finger was pointed at Moses. A crisis in the church. Why is this happening? That's usually the question. And usually the answer to that has something to do with the leader. It's the leader's fault. That's why we're suffering. That's why we have our problems. Yeah, Moses, if you would have done this, then we would be in a different situation. But it is interesting for me, knowing some of the background, just like you, that this is the first time they've been in a crisis, even for the gift of water. Because if you look at Exodus 15, you find in Exodus 15, they were lacking water. Remember when they came to the body of water and they drank it and it was like, it wasn't good. Remember that story? Yeah, and then God performed a miracle. He said, just throw the tree into the water and they'll change it and heal the water. And then he says, I'll put none of these diseases on you. And so the health message is so clear in the book of Exodus, just like it should be clear in what we do today. And so, yeah, that was in Exodus 15. But then remember, they didn't have anything to eat in 16. And what did God do? He performed a miracle, and he brought what down from the sky? He provided manna. And so time and time again, God keeps blessing. But here's what's hard for us. Notice I said us, I'm included. Sometimes we forget how he's blessed, don't we? Let's be honest. Let's take the mask off today. I hope you're not wearing one. But if you are, let's be honest. How many of us have done the same thing? I mean, God did all of that, yeah, last week, last month, last year. But this week, we forgot all about it. And out of our lips, out of our mouth, we started complaining. Oh, man, I've been there. I've done that. So a lot of ways I can relate to these people. In the moment, all they're thinking about there is their thirst. And so they're upset with their spiritual leader. And friends, I just want you to know that this crisis reminds me sometimes of the things that we go through in life that are just as much a crisis as the lack of water. Friends, ask yourself the question, how do you relate to the crises that you've gone through? Even presently, how do you relate to that? I do know one thing. As I mingle around the conference and I talk to people, fellow believers, I do know that there's a lot of people that are struggling. Yeah, it's not easy. I've talked to folks that are struggling in their marriage. They have a marriage crisis. Yeah, family crisis. That's a son or a daughter. And I've talked to folks that have issues with financial things. Just not enough money, a financial crisis. And even I've talked to people that are struggling with health crises. Yeah, they went to the doctor and the doctor said, your blood is not good. Your levels, your blood sugar is not good. I see a spot on the scan. It's just amazing. If you talk to people long enough, you'll hear about a challenge, a trial that they may be going through, whether it be in the church or whether it be in the community. And so the question is when you're going through a crisis, where do you go? Well, today, friends, if you're in the crisis mode, I just want you to know that you came to the right place today because God wants to speak to you. No matter how bad your crisis is, it may not be the lack of water today, but it could be the lack of something else. And I like what the spiritual leader does in verse 4. And if you watch closely, it's something that speaks volumes to us as far as what we should do in our crises today. It says in verse 4, so Moses, the spiritual leader, he does what? Come on, church, say it with me. He cries out to the Lord. He cries out to Jesus. And friends, I just want you to know, there's no better place you can go to than to go to the Lord when you're struggling, crying out in the crisis. How many of you, just raise your hand, have done that before? You know what I'm talking about, don't you? Yeah. And you know what? As you look at the story, you know that for Moses, he knew as good of a leader as he was, he needed more than just human strength to get through this one. So he calls out to the one that can work miracles. Friends, I want to encourage you today, if you're going through a crisis, to call out to Jesus. And if you've already called out to Him, keep calling out to Him. Because I can tell you this, that He does hear every prayer that you send up to Him. And churches especially, when we go through hard times, and I don't think that's the case here at Eden Valley. I think everything's going really well here. But it is interesting, John, that when you look at churches that have hard times, struggles, usually churches that are involved in a building project sometimes have issues. or it could be a nominating committee or something like that. So I hope you're listening right now. If this church ever goes through a crisis, here's what I'm going to recommend. Call a prayer meeting and do this. And that is cry out to Jesus. Jesus, please help our church. Maybe it's not a local issue. Some of you may be concerned about what's happening in the Seventh-day Adventist denomination. There's all kinds of issues out there. Yeah, we can lay awake at night, not able to sleep, or we can do this with our head on our pillow. We can just say, Jesus, we know You're in charge. You'll take care of this one, just like You did here in the Old Testament. So cries out to the Lord, and He says, what shall I do with this people? And then at the end of verse 4, He says something that just sends chills down my spine. He says, they're almost ready to do what? To stone Me. Now think about that. Moses, stone him? He was a really good guy, wasn't he? But yet, in all of their emotions, they were just about ready to put an end to their spiritual leader. I'm just kind of curious. Have you ever had a spiritual leader in your life that you weren't happy with? My guess is there's probably at least one person that's had an issue in your past relating to a spiritual leader. And it may have brought a lot of hurt to you. Yeah. Sometimes, let me just say this openly today. Sometimes spiritual leaders, unfortunately, are not always spiritual. And I just want to say this to you today. If you've been hurt or damaged by somebody in spiritual leadership, I just want to say I'm sorry, even though I have no idea what happened to you. I just want to ask today that you would pray that God would help you to forgive that person that did that. A number of years ago, I was doing a Bible study with a gentleman who was just enjoying everything that he was learning. And eventually, I had the privilege to baptize this man. But I asked him, you know, he was in his 60s, in his 70s, there, probably mid-60s. I asked him, I was just kind of curious, you know, why so late? Why are you coming to the Lord so late? And he began to tell me his story. He said, the reason that it's so late is because when I was a teenager, I was attending a church. And I was the kind of teenager that had some rebellion in me. And there was one spiritual leader that made it his job to try to correct me. And he not only corrected me and got me to conform, but he made me so hurt that I decided that as a teenager that when I got old enough, I would never darken the door of the church again. And so that's what he did. When he got old enough, he left the church, and here he is in his mid-60s. Do the math, will ya? We're talking over 50 years outside of the church. And why? Because there was somebody in spiritual leadership that wasn't so spiritual. And friends, today I just want you to know that if that has happened in your life or even a friend's life, I just want you to know that God is there to bring healing, to move on. We must remember what John the Baptist said. You probably remember it. He must increase and we must do what? decrease. So we need to continue to focus on the divine element and pray for the human element, because humans sometimes do make mistakes. Moses, I'm not so sure if he did anything wrong. The people were just upset with him, I think mainly because he was connected to the one who led him out in the wilderness. And so verse 5, as we continue to move forward, the Lord said to Moses, go on before the people and take with you some of the elders of Israel, and also take in your hand your rod with which you struck the river, and go. Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock in Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and say the next part with me, and water will come. Let's try it again. And water will come. And you know what? Just to make a long story short, the crisis was solved. Why? Because God performed a miracle. He really did. He provided water for those thirsty people. Now, let me just ask you today. It's time for me to get a little drink here. My mouth is getting dry. Can you imagine how good that water was when they drank again? Can you imagine how good that was? I'm just kind of curious today, knowing how much emotion they had into the crisis and why it was happening. They were upset with Moses and all of that. I'm just kind of curious today, after they got their first drink, what do you think they did? How many of you today think that once they started drinking water again and it moistened their mouth because it was so dry, how many of you think right away they began to thank God for the miracle? As much as I would like to say that that happened, I don't know. But here's my gut. My gut is they never took the time to thank God for what he had just done. How easy it is sometimes to forget to say thank you, Jesus. How many times this week when you ate your meal, did you stop everything and say thank you, Jesus, for this food? How easy it is sometimes to forget that. But let me go one step further. How many of you, after the miracle was performed, how many of you think they went up to Moses? Travis, I hope you don't mind. I'm going to use you here. Hopefully my mic works and everything. I'm going to reach out and grab his hand here. How many of you think they went out and they shook Moses' hand and said, Moses, I want to thank you today for helping us get water? How many of you think that happened? Just raise your hand. Again, we don't really know. But again, my gut is that if they didn't thank God for the miracle, they probably didn't thank their spiritual leader either. Let's bring it home today. Are you ready? This is going to come home today, hopefully to your heart. How many times have you been thankful for what you have? Yeah, to God. But let's go one step further. When is the last time you took the initiative to thank somebody in spiritual leadership for what they do for the Lord's work? Oh, but Pastor Mallory, they don't really need to say thank you. But here's what's interesting. How many times we're willing to complain, but less likely to say thank you? All right, am I making sense today? Tell me if I am. Say amen or not. Amen. Let me share with you something. I've got a dear friend. I'm going to do something, and it won't take. I want you to watch your stopwatch here, but this is a smartphone. I want you to watch what I'm going to do. Text John Davidson. Thank you so much for all you do for the church.
Here's your message. Ready to send it?
I just sent it. And how long?
Okay, it's sent.
You heard it just went to who? The pastor. And how long did it take to do that? Were you keeping track of the time? Just give me a guess. Like 10 seconds, right? But how often Do we just go through life in ministry and never think to thank those that serve the Lord? Sean, you played the piano quite a bit today, and I just want you to know, I appreciate what you did. I mean, can you imagine what Eden Valley Church would be like if we started focusing on appreciation? The attitude of gratitude? Can you imagine what this church would be like? Unfortunately, there's many churches out there that, all they can think about is the needs that are not being met. And this complaining begins. And you know what happens in a bunch of complaining? There's someone that shows up that I don't like and I don't think you like either. It's the enemy. And so in ministry, we must be mindful that, Thanksgiving. Yeah, it's not just something we do in November. It's something we do all the time. I call it Thanksgiving, taking the initiative to thank God and thank people for what they do for the Lord's work. And so, this was the first crisis. God solved it. Now we're going to go to the last one in chapter 17. And this one's going to be a little faster because of the time issue today. But there's a battle going on between God's people and the Amalek. And so this is a pretty scary situation, again, for the church, if you want to call this group of people the church. And Moses, the spiritual leader, he knows this. And trust me, friends, you know, when you're in the situation, you're wondering, how is this going to be solved? Well, God had a solution. And it says in verse 10, and Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. Notice here, Moses is going to the top of the hill, but he's not going by himself. So it's very important that you see that. He did not go by himself, but he took two people, Aaron and Hur. And so it was when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed in the battle. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands became, my translation says, heavy. Moses' hands became heavy. Stop there. Moses, do you realize who this is? If we could look at all the great leaders in history, I think Moses would be in the top five. He was that kind of leader. But even Moses had weakness. He couldn't keep his hands up in the air. And that's not good, because it was only when his hands were up in the air, the scripture says, that the church was prevailing. So verse 12, it says Moses, and his hands became heavy, so they took a stone and they put it under him, and he sat on it. And then it says, these two individuals again, they're mentioned again. And it says, and Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady unto the going down of the sun. So Joshua defeated Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword, and God's people said, amen. Hopefully they said that back then. And why did the church win that day? Yeah, you could say, well, it's because they had a great spiritual leader. They did. He was good. But let me just share with you. On this day, he needed more than just himself and God. He needed people in his church that were willing to step up to the plate. And who were those people? Name them with me again. The first one begins with an A. Say it with me, Aaron. And the second with what? H. Hur. Aaron and Hur. These are pretty much no-name people. You don't hear of them much. But yet they made an impact that day. Why? Because they supported their spiritual leader. Friends, I would like to share with you that Aaron and Hur today, or in this story at least, are an example of what happens when God's people support their spiritual leaders. Yeah. And what do you mean today in a modern day sense? Yeah, for Moses putting his hands up in the air. Yeah, that's a physical thing. I think some would argue his hands up in the air pointing to God, that God, we really need you. The symbolism is very much there. But think about spiritual leaders today. Think about Pastor John. Think about, I could talk about a number of leaders here in the church. Tom, think about those people. What do we do to support them? Well, let me just share with you. As a pastor for many years, continuing in a sense to be a pastor, but as a pastor of a local church for many years, yeah, this is one thing that always seemed to make a difference. And that is when my church members were praying for me. I can tell you things, great things happened. In fact, I know that so much that when I get to heaven, I believe this is going to be the case. And that is, I believe when I get to heaven, that God is going to welcome me. Welcome, Mickey, it's so good to see you. And then he's going to put in a heavenly DVD and he's going to show me everything that happened here on this, in this world, on this earth. And he's going to just say, you know what? You did a really great work, but let me just show you why you were able to do what you did. And then he's going to bring out from somewhere, dear saints from my church. And he's going to say, it was these people, Mickey, that were praying for you, that allowed you to be able to do what you did. And because of their prayers, you succeeded in ministry. Friends, can you see that scenario happening? I believe so, friends. I believe that scenario could very well happen. And so, supporting leaders, one way to do that is by praying for them. Let me ask you today, if there ever was a time in history when we needed to pray for spiritual leaders, don't you think it's now? You know what? The Bible says, we're studying Revelation, the devil comes down with great wrath because he knows his end is coming. He knows the time is near. The time is short. And so the enemy is trying to do everything he can to attack, yes, the church, but especially the leadership. Because if he knows he can get the leadership, he can get usually many of the members that follow. And so I just want to ask you today in closing this sermon, how many of you today would say, hey, I want to support my spiritual leaders? Just raise your hand today if you'd like to say that. Meaning, yeah, I want to pray for them. And today I want to invite at least two of them. John, I want you to come up today. I want you to be on my left side. And Tom, our head elder, I want to invite you to come up today. I represent the conference, as you know. And I just want you to know that we do our best to support our pastors. But also, I just want you to know, we know that not only is the pastor a spiritual leader in the local church, but we have lay members that serve, that volunteer their time. And one of them being here today is our head elder, Tom. And I believe today he represents all of those that have some capacity of leadership in the local church. I want to invite these gentlemen to come forward today. I'm going to grab your arm, John, today. Yeah, you remember the illustration here today. Earlier, this is what happened for Moses. And what were their names? You remember their names? Who did this? Aaron and Hur. Today, I want to invite you, if you would like to say today, this is a pretty bold decision, but if you would like to say today that I want to support my spiritual leaders, I want to be a modern day Aaron and Hur to pray for them, to pray for their family, to pray for their health, to pray for protection from the enemy. I want to be that kind of person today. I want to invite you to stand as I'm standing here holding their hands today, and we're going to pray. Father, today, as we think of the story in Exodus 17, we're mindful that in a lot of ways, that's us. Yeah, we're living in a time that sometimes is really hard. It's a crisis mode for many of us here today. Personal lives, sometimes we're struggling, even in the church, this challenges. But thank you so much, God, that you're in charge and that Jesus, The Bible says in the New Testament, you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. Just as much as you were there for Israel, the church back then, you're there for Eden Valley today. And we're grateful today that, that we have spiritual leaders just like Moses in this church. I'm lifting up to my left hand today, my brother, Pastor John Davidson. I'm praying for him today to be baptized with your Holy Spirit. I also want to lift up his family, and I want to pray that you'll bless all the work that goes on here, the church and at the Institute. Bless, Father, and may you get the glory for all of that. I also lift up Tom's hand today, his arm, and thanking you for his ministry here that represents our lay people that have a responsibility and they do it so well. Bless him, bless his family, and bless the congregation. We're standing today because we support our local leaders, and we pray that you'll continue to lead us. Thank you so much, and soon we're going to be in the promised land. And help us to not lose faith, and no matter what crisis we go through, help us to keep crying out to the Lord is our prayer in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen.